Ryan Dunn was a well-known stunt performer, TV personality, actor, and comedian, well-known for being part of the TV show Jackass. One night, on the way back home from a bar, he and an assistant friend veered off the road and crashed into a tree, killing them both instantly. This week on Death and Entertainment.
Live from Los Angeles.
911, what is your emergency?
Here in Hollywood now.
Two counts of murder,
injury, and death.
Oh my God!
Shocking new details
that has stunned the entertainment world.
This makes me a little nervous.
The hair stood up on my arms.
Just like in the movies.
What do you call this thing anyway?
Death
in entertainment.
Hello, Governor.
You're doing that voice again?
Yeah, why not?
No one asked for it. Here it is, guys. Kyle Plouffe as a pirate, kind of.
Or a Cockney.
Or like an old school colonial era bartender or something.
My name, Bill.
Hey, what can we get you?
Hello. I'm going to do it too. It's fun.
Alejandro's doing it also. What's going on, guys?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 40.
Oh, my God. Over the fucking hill, dude.
We have made it to our midlife crisis here.
Jesus. We're buying a Porsche 911 Carrera, and we're crashing into a tree too soon.
Jeez.
Yikes.
My name is Kyle Plouffe.
My name is Mark Mulcairn.
I'm Alejandro Dowling.
And a little background for everybody. If you're just finding us today, we're covering Ryan Dunn. And like we have said before, we are a true crime comedy podcast. So if you're not the type that thinks the best laughs are had at a funeral, get out.
Hit the bricks, okay? This ain't your pod.
Well, everybody, this episode is taking us all the way back to June 20th, 2011.
Oh, boy.
Okay, what do we got for our pop?
Top of the pops.
Oi.
All right, what do we got for the pop culture flash, Alejandro? Take it away with the top movies.
Number five, Green. Can you finish the sentence?
Hornet.
Shit movie.
Lantern.
Oh, my lantern.
Oh, my Lanta.
That really was a DOA kind of thing.
Horrible. Yeah. It was a horrible movie. It was like almost being looked at as like his final performance because it was just so bad.
They were really?
Like, he is not a viable actor.
Well, Ryan Reynolds was having trouble finding his footing then.
Yeah.
Because another movie he did around the same time was R.I.P.D.
Oh, yeah.
Do you
yeah.
remember that?
I forget that existed. Yeah, or I forgot that existed.
Lucky.
Yeah, I like that better.
I think about it every day. Yeah.
It's like a Ghostbusters Men in Black ripoff.
Yeah.
Where in the afterlife, they're like agents that have to go hunt down the undead on Earth
horrible.
Or something.
It sounds horrible.
And they call them Deados.
Oh, that'd be a good name for our... that's the only good thing I take away from that.
That's what I thought. Yeah. That was the one thing I remember from that movie. I'm like, that's kind of clever to call them Deados.
What's up, Deados? How you doing out there?
Deadies. Deados.
What the Deadies? Pow! I just shit my pants.
And Jeff Bridges has a ridiculous accent
in
that movie. And he's like, all right, let's go get us some Deados.
Oh, man.
It's horrible.
Awful.
And it was in 3D.
Such a bad catchphrase.
And I've seen it more than once. Okay, moving on. Number four, Super 8.
That was like a Spielberg.
No, J.J. Abrams.
Movie.
When
oh,
they
what?
First started working together.
Super not memorable. All right, number three, X-Men First Class.
I loved it.
All right, remind me, that's the one.
Michael Fassbender is Magneto.
Where they're all like the young versions.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know the names. I used to like X-Men, like the animated TV show back in the day.
Yes.
But these movies, I don't give a fuck, man.
You're not a big Bryan Singer fan?
The no. Singer ones,
I like his off-screen antics. I don't like his movies and stuff.
Yeah. I genuinely.
Yeah. He knows how to throw a good hot tub party. Movies. Yeah. That is good.
Yeah. I like his parties are great.
Drink the champagne.
Yeah.
He is strict, though, on the age limit.
Yeah.
Him and Jeffrey Jones, you know.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Number two.
Cats. Cars.
Oh, my God. Are you going blind?
Uh-oh.
Cars 2.
And the fact that there would be a Cats 2 would be very Interesting.
See, that's what tipped me off that it wasn't Cats.
Okay, the two.
Because I saw the number
sequel
two.
Thing. Yeah.
Ain't no sequel to the movie Cats.
No.
Well, not
hopefully
yet.
Not.
Yeah, hopefully not. Let's keep it that way.
Maybe I'll make one, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cars 2, sequel to Cars.
Wow.
Little known fact.
You do your own research on this?
And this is Pixar, officially.
It is. Yeah. I like Pixar movies, but like I can't get over the fact that why am I watching Cars talk? It's just so stupid.
Well, you're an adult, first of all.
Well, yeah.
I still show up to see Pixar movies.
Well, we know your predilection.
Yeah, you watch Angus all the time, too.
Fuck yeah.
All right. And then number one movie, Transformers, Dark of the Moon.
I thought I double checked to make sure it wasn't supposed to say Dark Side of the Moon.
I literally just Googled that and I was like, wow, it really is Dark of the Moon.
It's such a weird, because they couldn't say Dark Side of the Moon, I guess.
Yeah.
Is Roger Waters going to sue them or something?
That's a good question. I don't know. He is very litigious.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a real personality. He likes going after people.
He's a real cut up.
Yeah, well,
he hates Israel. I know that much.
Yeah, he's not a big fan of that. I don't know if he sued them or not, but
yeah,
him
he
and,
sued the entire population.
Yeah, the state of Israel. Yeah, yeah. And the UN. No, but him and David Gilmour and them have like beef and stuff that goes way back. But either way.
I have something to add about Dark Side, I was going to say. Dark of the Moon. There was a famous accident that happened on that set. It was filmed in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I lived in Chicago at the time. And so this was all over the news. A wire snapped on set and it hit an extra in the head.
Ooh.
And she lost a good percentage of her head.
Ooh.
But survived.
What?
Yeah.
That's like beginning
a good percent, like 70% of her head? How much a good percent?
How much head did I lose, Doc? Yeah. A good percentage. Yeah.
How much? Did you really need a full head?
Yeah.
I got it right here. She won $18.5 million. Dollars Ooh. In the lawsuit.
A million for every inch of head.
That was oh.
disrupted.
A third of her head.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's a survivable. I thought it was like, you know, she just had like the face basically and like, you know.
Is
yeah, Bart,
a third of your head?
You're so casual about a third of the head? That's nothing.
That's nothing.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Just wear a smaller hat.
I just take a couple aspirin. It'll be fine.
You don't have any eyebrows or a forehead, yeah. But you look fine.
Oh, yeah. Just a third?
It's no. just the back of your head.
That's nothing.
Top music we got here. The Lazy Song by Bruno Mars is fifth.
The Lazy. How does that go?
On the Billboard chart.
I don't feel like doing anything.
Sounds like a kid's song. I have no idea.
Okay.
That sounds like it could be it.
Number four.
That's horrible.
E.T. by Katy Perry featuring Kanye West.
I love you, Elliot.
Yeah, what is it? What is this song? What is the Aldi song?
I have no idea.
You could have made up just word for word everyone on here, and I would no clue what they are.
Yeah, I only know two songs of this top five.
Number she's a little late with E.T., don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, real. She's not afraid of using E.T. Like, yeah. Like they were afraid of Dark Side of the Moon.
Dark of the Moon.
Like, what's her next song? Pete's Dragon?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Never Ending Story? Number three, Party Rock Anthem by LMA. Wait, I can't even read
laughing
letters.
My ass off.
LMFAO.
No, it says featuring Lauren Bennett yes. and Goon Rock. Like, who the fuck are these people?
Don't know.
What
don't care.
Are these things? What are we what are we reading off?
Number two, Give Me Everything by Pitbull featuring Neo, Afrojack, and Nayer.
Give me a couple more background singers, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, jeez. Who isn't on this song?
Number one, Rolling in the Deep by Adele.
See, this one I know.
Yeah.
Rolling in the deep.
Where were you guys when I needed you for the Lazy song?
Yeah, we should do a two-man duet group or something.
Yeah. And with that, we're going to transform into the story of Ryan Dunn.
Ooh, that's good stuff there. Okay, so Ryan Dunn was born in Southern Medina, Ohio on June 11th, 1977. So his death came a little bit after his birthday and a little bit after today, actually, also. So we're dealing with a lot of anniversaries and birthdays of Ryan Dunn.
He grew up in funky cold Medina.
Yeah, I don't know, because I heard it pronounced Medina, Ohio.
Well, I don't
also.
Like that.
Yeah. Funky comb Medina.
Vagina, vagina. Right.
Oh my God. I stumbled over your vagina joke.
It was gold, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he moved around a lot. I think he also lived in Williamsville, New York for a while, also. Another, I'm sure, equally as podunk, nowheresville as as Medina.
Williamsville is a village in Erie County, New York. The population is 5,300. Very small town.
Yeah, that's a small town.
Wow.
I guess Ryan hated school as a kid, and he would cry all the time, which is why he got the nickname Crying Ryan.
Oh, that was me. Growing up.
Really?
I was the crying kid.
Little cry baby?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Yeah, and then people would do that, and I'd cry even more.
You would do it in front of people?
Oh, yeah.
Like at school?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Little biatch.
Yeah.
I wanted to cry, but, you know, I could hold it in.
I couldn't stop it.
You can't cry in front of people.
Watch me.
There's no crying in elementary school. There's no crying in math class.
Yeah, I tried to hold in every emotion I ever had, which I still do to this day.
I'm going to die soon.
Yeah.
That is true.
Or I'm going to blow up like Michael Douglas in Falling Down.
Do you ever feel like, oh, I don't cry that much, and then randomly you'll be crying over something really stupid?
Yeah, like not winning the lottery. I almost cried about that recently.
Get used to it.
Yeah, like I thought I had a chance.
Yeah,
like
I always do. Today's the day, baby.
I've been playing the Powerball. Yeah, and I read the numbers. I go, how dare I not win the lottery today?
Seriously,
that's how far I've come. I'm like, if show business isn't working out, the plan B is winning the lottery.
Fran Lebowitz in that Martin Scorsese Netflix documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, all right, at this point, I need to win the lottery.
It's an investment.
Yeah.
I like it. A lot of that documentary is just her saying, I need more money.
That's her biggest problem.
Yeah. I need money.
Maybe write another book then.
I know. Maybe she should. Anyway, Ryan Dunn, when he was 15, his family moved to Westchester, Pennsylvania. This is the most biggest thing that would ever happen to him here. It was like, you know, history was made here, basically.
Really?
He went to Westchester East High School, and where he met fellow Jackass star Bam Margera on his first day of school.
Boom.
Wow, first day.
Bam, boom.
I guess the move to Westchester was actually a decision by his parents to get him to stop using drugs. He got hooked early, like in Ohio, I think, you know, just to stop him from crying, they probably gave him drugs. And then, you know, it got a little too out of hand. So eventually they had to move to Westchester East High School, which is actually, you know, that seemed like the more moderate place to move, I guess.
Yeah. Will you quit doing drugs and hang out with Bam Margera, please?
Yeah. start jumping in fucking, you know, shit.
If they could only see in a crystal ball.
Yeah. Like that was the safe move or something. Instead, could you ride bikes off of churches?
Yeah.
These two guys were a few years apart. I guess Bam was like 13 when Ryan got there when he was 15. So they weren't like same class. It wasn't like, you know, right away. But like they got a group of friends, like his brother, Bam's brother was Jesse, who was the same age as Ryan, who's the one that started the band CKY, which I'll go into in a little bit.
Okay.
So Ryan became friends with this guy, Brandon DiCamillo, who's also from Jackass. And Jesse, like I said, was Bam's brother. But they would all hang out in like one big like gang of dudes, basically, like in various ages and stuff. This group also included Rab himself from Jackass and later on Viva La Bam. And this guy, Brandon Novak, who was a piece of work. And this other guy, Rake John, who was like their other friend that they'd bring around once in a while.
So is this the seedling for Jackass?
This is the seedling for CKY. And later on, some Jackass people, it's like Menudo, people like kind of mix around and like kind of come in and out, and it's like an ever evolving group of people and stuff.
Yeah.
So this is the group basically that would become CKY, which is it stands for Camp Kill Yourself, which is a reference to the movie Sleepaway Camp from 1983. which is like kind of a knockoff horror movie, like on camp and stuff.
A slasher flick.
Yeah. I don't know if it became the Mike Myers thing or like... Or
came? What do you mean?
No, it inspired that or something. Oh, no. Which one came first?
That was Halloween was way before.
Yeah,
that.
Halloween was before. Sleepaway Camp was
better.
1983. It had one of my favorite VHS covers at Blockbuster because it had like the Freddy Krueger glove, the Jason mask, like all in this girl's like possessions.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that was kind of a knockoff, if anything.
Okay. Yes, it was a knockoff.
Yeah, so before that, the first thing they ever did together was creating a band called Soul Roach.
Not to be confused with Papa.
Yeah, it's Papa Roach. Yeah, that was a predecessor of Papa Roach.
They had some competition. They're like, all right, we got to add something else before Roach.
Cut my life into pieces. It's so awful. That whole era of music was so bad. But that's another podcast.
I still love it.
Kyle's got the poster open.
It was Sleepaway Camp 2 had the Freddy and Jason thing.
Oh, no shit.
I couldn't believe they were able to use it. They probably weren't allowed to, but they did it.
Well, they don't own the rights to a white hockey mask.
They got more balls than the Transformers people.
Well, the white hockey mask is like a regular hockey mask, but the glove is a Freddy Krueger glove, very clearly.
It's clear. Yeah, what else would that be used for besides like it's nothing. Merch for Freddy Krueger,
It was
basically.
Literally created for him.
It's literally merch. So after this horrible band Soul Roach, in which they entered the high school battle of the bands with Ryan as the lead singer. Ryan Dunn was the lead singer of this band.
He sang too.
But not really. But he said, hey, we should start this band and do the battle of the bands at high school, and I should be the lead singer. And Jesse Margera goes, oh, cool. Can you sing? He's like, no. But they did it anyway, and they got last place. They eventually switched gears and started making videos of themselves basically kicking the shit out of each other for their own entertainment, I guess. They would like jump off buildings, pretend to fight, pull pranks, etc. Shit like, you know, highbrow stuff.
Yes.
And then they started taking these videos more seriously because people were like started enjoying them. Like to say they got more serious is a ridiculous thing to say because they're still doing, you know, they're still jumping and shit and stuff.
Who's enjoying them besides them?
I think they just pass them out to friends and stuff. They had a big network around Westchester, and like people would be like, oh, yeah, they'd be responsive to it. And then Bam started like he was a skateboarder, which is like a big network of like finding people and finding like, you know, fanzines and like sending around skate videos and stuff. So everyone did these skate videos, which is basically like 4 hours of dudes skating, which got boring after a while.
Yeah.
But he mixed it up with them doing like pranks and like, you know,
stunts
and shit like that. Yeah.
And that was always the best part if you ever had to sit through one of those skating videos.
Yeah.
It was when someone got injured.
I have an example of it here.
And then it kind of just drifted into like doing dumb stuff to kind of amuse ourselves.
As the years went on, we realized that why not just put the stuff out in a video since everybody's asking for it anyway. And that's when CKY started.
I love this song.
That's CKY. That's like their main anthem, I feel like. Yeah. They would use throughout all these videos and shit.
Mark called them horrible. How do you feel about that?
No, he called Soul Roach horrible.
Oh, you're
CKY
right.
CKY is actually good.
My apologies.
CKY is not a bad band. It's just funny that it's the same name as like the comedy sketch group is the same name as the band and stuff. I like how they keep it one big thing.
And CSNY.
Yes. Also a band. Yeah.
Yes.
So a lot of I like when they did the shopping carts thing where they just throw shopping carts into the fucking bushes and shit.
Yep.
That was one of my favorite things when I first started seeing Jackass. So Bam would go on to get getting sponsored by Nike, like for skateboarding. Like he was like huge, like based off like the CKY comedy videos and stuff, like he was getting a lot of notoriety. And like skating at this time it became like a huge profitable thing. To be like after Tony Hawk got huge, like, you know, like you could make so much fucking money and he made millions. He didn't really care about the Jackass movie or any of that or money or any of that shit. His bread and butter was getting sponsored by these big brands and like, you know, like skateboard companies and shit.
That just seemed like the coolest thing to become a pro. Yeah. Go to the X Games, you know, get sponsored by Vans.
Yeah.
I unfortunately, you know, couldn't. I grew up in rural Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I did not skateboard.
Well, that's a problem if you're trying to get sponsored for skateboarding.
Yeah, it really is.
That's a major fundamental problem.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my impasse. Yeah. Like, all right, so I don't know how to skateboard. I don't own a skateboard. How do we get this contract going?
How do we get it going? Yeah. Where do we start here? So Bam's out there making like crazy cash with like Nike and stuff and making all this money, but they're doing these CKY videos. People are consuming these by the millions. They're getting like back in the day, you know, you'd have going viral would be someone just making copies of videotapes.
Oh, yeah.
And just giving them to 5 friends, vice versa, giving them to 10 friends. And then it would just like a pyramid scheme. But like no one's making any money, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Bam's out there making all this money skateboarding and stuff. And Ryan Dunn is basically working at gas stations in Westchester after high school and stuff and kind of doing nothing with his life. His first Jackass appearance was when his CKY buddy, Brandon DiCamillo, which I mentioned before, rubbed shit on his face while they were asleep.
Oh.
Which is good work if you can get it, I guess.
Oh, my God.
Classic bit.
But, like, I think Ryan Dunn always wanted to get, like, be the star of these videos, but he was always kind of on the outside because he's still basically the new kid in town, even though he had been there for, like, you know, 5 years and stuff.
Yeah.
So a lot of these guys are like gang, you know, ganged up together and stuff and like, you know, close buddies. And whereas he's still seen as like the outsider. Mm-hmm. I think the first crazy thing he did, like I mentioned before, he was a BMX rider. So he took a BMX bike and rode it off of church roof.
Wow.
And like that got like one of the bigger, you know, notoriety. Like, I don't know if it's just that, but I guess Jeff Tremaine and Johnny Knoxville, I think, saw that or saw one of their main videos that came out and was like, oh, we got to use this for Jackass. In a weird coincidence, around the time that they were putting together Jackass, they happened to come across these CKY videos. I don't know if it inspired the show or anything, or, you know, or it just so happened someone gave him one of these tapes when they were putting together this TV show.
Logically, you would think that it inspired the show because it sounds exactly like the show.
Yeah.
But really, who wasn't trying to do something like that at that time?
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, it was a big time for like doing insane
crazy shit.
Yeah.
I would film a bunch of shit too, but the thing is, we would also do stupid shit without it being filmed.
Yeah. Like 98, me and my friend would like videotape a ton of shit, like going to Maine and just like fucking around.
Yeah.
And like
yelling to random people on the street, like,
pretty much.
Invasion of the penises.
Yeah. Just get blackout drunk and like, oh, that was awesome. Then watch it the next day and like, dude, we should be SNL.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We should be, you know, someone.
Oh, well, that's what me and my friends thought, because we would do like the grocery shopping carts and like all that stuff.
Oh, really?
They used to fit, my friends would film me, like I'd go to public
but
places.
But this is after Jackass already came out.
No.
Oh,
it was
really?
Before.
Oh, so they stole your idea.
But that's how we felt. We were like, we were so pissed when Jackass came out. We were like, are you fucking serious? You're going to get a TV show?
It must have just been in the ether. Someone
it was. Gonna, it was.
Someone was going to get a big payday doing it.
Yeah.
Everybody was fucking doing that. Yeah. Jackass was just, they were the lucky assholes that made it work and got famous from it.
Well, yeah, there's a whole power struggle thing here because Jeff Tremaine, Johnny Knoxville, and Spike Jonze, I think, are the three owners of the name Jackass. Mm-hmm. Like, they brought on these guys, all this whole group of people, you know, Steve-O, Preston, you know, Bam, Ryan Dunn. And Johnny was, like, the main guy. And he got famous from, like, taking a bullet to the chest with a bulletproof vest on.
That was his first, like, big
thing. Yeah, and he got, like, tased and stuff. Okay. And, like, he was an actor out in Hollywood who had just kind of, like, gone nowhere with his career. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I gotta do something now. And then he's like, why not take a bullet to the chest in, you know, in Encino?
Oh, it was in Encino?
I don't know where it was, but it sounds about right. But I always find it interesting that CKY and these guys didn't go out and like get their own TV deal. They eventually did with Viva La Bam.
Yeah.
I think what happened with them is they saw Spike Jonze. They were a fan of his music videos and stuff.
Oh, he was a revolutionary
this is before
music
being John Malkovich. So yeah, even before that, he was like Beastie Boys. He was doing Moby. He was doing like huge music videos. That,
when like DVDs were cool at first,
yeah,
you had to have those music video collections. Like Michelle Gondry, Spike Jonze.
Totally.
They were awesome. Because he did all the Beastie
that was,
Boys.
Yeah.
Weezer.
I think the year
Fat Lip.
From like 1989 89, 90 or something to like 1999 were like the best music videos ever.
Great.
Or maybe even push that forward to like 2004. But then they just kind of like the budgets weren't there anymore for music videos.
No.
And there's no more auteurs really working in music videos.
No, it's not hip anymore to make music videos. That's for damn
and
sure.
Bjork's not making any new music videos or Radiohead barely is. And
God.
No one gives a shit.
But when was this being developed?
Well, I have that here. Originally, Jeff Tremaine, who's like the main producer and director guy you see all the time with the big puffy coat he's always wearing. He sold the idea to SNL initially. And they were going to develop it and having like an ongoing sketch on SNL.
Wow.
But like, I think they had initial meetings and then at some point they were like, nope, this is not going to work for Jackass. It just doesn't make sense. They want way too much control.
They're like, we already got Chris Kattan here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going to do his animal character.
We got Mango. Can we put Mango in the Jackass sketch? Can we have Johnny Knoxville kick Mango like off a church roof or something?
In the chest?
Yeah, in the chest. Kill him if you can.
Light Mango's balls on fire. Yeah.
Yeah. Shoot a staple gun into fucking Mango's face.
Poor Mango. We are annihilating him right now.
Mango.
Yeah.
Speaking of, he had a lifelong injury from doing a skit.
Oh, yeah, he
SNL.
Did. He
Chris
did.
Kattan.
Yeah.
He wrote a book about it.
Yeah.
So he kind of did like a Jackass type stunt.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Except it wasn't as cool.
Yeah.
It was in a Golden Girls
and
sketch.
It wasn't filmed. It was like, it was a Golden Girls.
Could you imagine you're almost paralyzed from doing a Golden Girls sketch? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you got like the Stephen Hawking like entire like motorized scooter and stuff.
What happened to you?
You're typing with your tongue. You have to type out Golden Girls sketch.
I played B. Arthur in Golden Girls sketch.
It did not go well. Eventually there was a bidding war with Comedy Central and MTV. My guess is that Spike Jonze had that relationship at MTV. He was like a god over there in like 99, 2000. Mm-hmm. So they're like, Spike Jonze it is.
That would have been the height, too, of his music video prowess. Because that was when he did Fatboy Slim.
Fatboy Slim,
famous one where he starred in it. He's like a dance instructor. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. It was like the, what are they called?
Praise You.
Yeah, Praise You, but what's the flash mob, pretty much. It's like a whole bunch of people outside dancing.
Amazing video, though.
Yeah.
He did great work there. And then I think that he's like, at some point, I want a payday here.
Uh-huh.
So Jackass debuts October 1st, 2000. After the second episode had aired, MTV gained its highest Sunday ratings in its history, drawing 2.4 million viewers among the ages of 12 and 34 years old. Which is that's the money. Yeah.
Probably leaning on the 12 side, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I was right smack dab in the middle of there, and I was definitely their target demographic because I loved it.
Oh, yeah. When that hit, if you were around that age in that demo, you remember it. It was a sensation.
Yeah. So Ryan Dunn's part of it really took off. Like, he was in it, but he wasn't in it that much, like at the top of it, like when it first came out. His part really took off, though, and he started standing out when he shoved a toy car up his ass.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which they recreated for the first movie,
yeah.
I believe, yeah.
Originally, it was supposed to be Steve-O who's going to be doing that, but Ryan Dunn stepped up and was like, no, if he's not going to do it, I'm fucking doing it. I'm sticking that car up my ass.
It's because, when you're on the periphery of being a regular cast member and like a featured player, it's like you need to really do something drastic.
You got to do something drastic, especially with these fucking maniacs.
Put that car in my ass.
Put that car in my ass.
JFK was there.
JFK was there also.
Yeah, you have to step up.
You gotta step up and sit down on this car.
Yeah.
You gotta show what your asshole is made of.
Well, they, the basic gist of the prank is that he shoved a toy car into his ass with lube, of course, thank God. And then he went to a doctor to get an x-ray because he said his lower back was hurting.
Yeah.
I have a clip of it here.
I mean, he was chilling with that thing in his butt for the whole day.
Oh, fuck.
And it was just one camera and done, and I don't think anyone could have pulled that off like he did.
The doctor's face is so good.
Yeah.
Well, that's not part of you. That's something extra.
I would have known if I ate that. No, you won't be able to swallow that. That's it's a car toy.
Well, how did a car toy get there?
Swallow
Maybe
it.
Maybe you stuck it up your ass.
I didn't stick anything in my ass.
Butt x-ray was and probably still is the best thing we ever shot.
I would agree with that. There was no stunt that got more attention than that.
Well, after that, the doctor goes... He goes, don't tell anyone about this.
Oh, yeah.
This person right here talking to the guy with the camera. That's one too many.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So after this, Dunn was nicknamed the random hero for taking on stunts that even some of his fellow co-stars would not do.
Yeah.
So he's just a random hero.
You got to do it.
Got to do it. Got to stick the car in your ass. I guess originally they were going to put a small flip phone cell phone in the ass, but it was God. Too big.
Too big, and also there's radiation.
Yeah, I think that was at least his concerns was the radiation.
You really think they were thinking about radiation, yeah. Kyle?
I would.
Uh-huh. Ridiculous.
What a weird point to make.
Yeah, ever turn the microwaves off.
Yeah.
Well, what about the dye in the toy car?
Yeah.
It's in a condom.
Yeah. Okay. I'm worried about tearing my ass up.
Jesus Christ.
So Jackass, the TV show, went on for 3 seasons and made a ton of money for MTV. But not so much the cast.
Really?
Yeah.
Over the years, there's been a lot of upset cast members about how much they were getting paid. And
so basically, Tremaine, Knoxville, Jones, they're the ones that are reaping the benefits.
Totally. Yeah. And you know, everyone else, you know, you're just you're a hired gun.
Yeah. Steve-O was still pretty much like almost homeless after the second season.
Yeah.
I remember. He's like, dude, you've done 2 full seasons of a television show and still are struggling.
And he and Ryan Dunn were raging alcoholics at the time.
Well, yeah.
You'd almost have to be for some of those stunts.
We'll get it. Yeah,
of course.
We'll get into that a little bit more. But yeah, Steve-O, I think he claimed that a lot of that, the Jackass stuff is what led him to his like drug addiction, his own issues and stuff.
I mean,
who would question him on that statement?
Well, he was already doing drugs before.
Of course, all these guys were. Obviously, yeah. Ryan Dunn was fucking with stuff when he was 15 years old. Yeah. So.
Steve-O went to clown college and...
He did?
Yeah.
They found him at the circus in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How did I not know he was a clown?
He ran away with the circus.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
He was a circus performer. Yeah. He wanted that. His dad is like a huge fucking executive for Coca-Cola. His dad is like fucking a billionaire or something.
Okay. I am learning a lot about Steve-O I did not know.
Yeah.
Dude. Hey, what's up, guys?
Jesus
but he actually, on the last movie, actually, I think his dad is starting to do more of his business because his dad was an executive.
Yeah.
His dad brought him everywhere. Like, he lived in Brazil. He lived in like 5 countries before he was like 18 years old.
Yeah.
And his dad is now negotiating with Jackass and tried to get more money out of them. For the first time ever, Steve-O put his foot down and said, I want more money.
Wow.
For this last movie that came out, which is 4, and they said no.
Yeah.
Oh, they said no?
Yeah.
Well, he did the movie anyway.
He did it anyway.
Oh.
Him and Johnny Knoxville had a public skirmish a little bit.
Yeah.
But he ended up being in the movie. But they were planning on doing it without him. I think he got a little bit more money, but I don't think it was much.
But he was saying how he got pissed, like, when they'd start doing Bad Grandpa, like, without all those guys.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they were just showing them, like, Spike Jonze and Johnny was like, we could do this without you guys.
Yeah.
We don't need you.
I love Bad Grandpa.
It's great.
They totally proved they could do it without them, in my opinion.
Of course.
Because I thought it was probably the funniest thing they ever did, to be honest.
Well, they get the notoriety, and I'm not saying this is okay, but they're allowed to do their own shows. Like, they did Wild Boys and stuff. And, like, I think now they're getting better with, like, kind of creating their own content, doing podcasts and stuff like that. But initially, they were just young kids who were like, oh, yeah, we'll just follow whatever Jeff Tremaine and all these professionals say. Because they were like, they'd been in L.A. for years. Yeah. They just assume they're the people you follow because these guys are just
they'll
fucking
take care
maniacs.
Of us.
Yeah.
That's going on a different level, on a different plane right now with people like David Dobrik on YouTube.
Yeah.
Where they got famous for stunts.
Yeah.
Jackass ripoffs that started on Vine. And then a couple years ago, someone almost died doing one of the stunts for David Dobrik, his buddy, and his buddy's suing him now.
Oh, yep. Really?
Yeah. David Dobrik is incredibly rich.
Yeah.
But it's on the backs of all the people that helped him get there.
Yeah. I was wondering, I was thinking, like, all these guys went crazy during and after Jackass and stuff. Maybe there was some CTE involved. And like they bang their brains up and stuff, and maybe that's why.
They're
crazy also, so that's the problem. It's hard to like.
Yeah,
say.
Which came first?
Yeah,
the chicken or the egg?
The crazy or the brain injury?
Yeah,
the toy car or the
anus?
Yeah.
So, like I was saying, throughout all of this, Bam is seemingly a better businessman than a lot of these other kind of side jackass people. He gets his own show right away on MTV.
Viva La Bam,
which, like I was saying before, we were talking about all the CKY group is involved in this.
Yeah.
And
another popular show.
Yeah, another wildly popular show, and it actually went longer than Jackass only went for 3 seasons.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
If you think about it, though, basically at that point, Johnny Knoxville is a superstar.
Yeah.
It would be too expensive to keep the band together.
Well, my guess is that, you know, all the agents of all the individual players involved in this, you know, are looking at the MTV numbers and being like, they can't do this without you guys. They start playing hardball, you know, with the TV show. And then if you get like 15 dudes playing hardball, they're like, fuck this. We're just going to do movies and we're not going to do a TV show every week because there's too much.
Steve-O's like, you can shove that $100 up your ass. I want $200.
Yeah, pretty much. And then he shoved it out in his own ass.
They only had 25 episodes total.
Yeah.
Eight episodes season one. Eight episodes
imagine
season
them
two.
Splitting up all that money in like...
9 for season
but,
3.
But, you know, as much as MTV's paying, I'm sure by season 3 they're getting a good amount. But Spike Jonze in Tremaine and Knoxville still taking the bulk of that. They're making the most money.
Of course.
Yeah.
And the rest of these guys aren't like doing... I'm wondering if like Bam like made a huge crazy offer or like what he wanted for season 4. And then he's like, fuck this. I'm just going with my own show anyway. And they're like, fuck that. We're not going to compete with Viva La Bam and Jackass. And then Wild Boys, which came out later with Steve-O and the other guy there.
Chris Pontius.
Yeah. So they're like, fuck it. We're just going to do the movies every once in a while. I think Spike is like, this is just going to subsidize my movies that make no money, which are good, though. I like all Spike Jonze movies.
That was pretty interesting that his debut movie was Being John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Because on the set, John Malkovich himself made a reference to Streetcar Named Desire. And Spike Jonze is like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, I've never even heard of Streetcar. Yeah. And John Malkovich paused and he's like, who the hell am I working with?
I know.
What is this movie that we're making?
He's basically a dude that doesn't have a college degree, which is like, who's very good at the technical side of film and stuff and really knows what he's doing. But writing movies, I think that wasn't his kind of forte thing.
Teaming up with, what's his name?
Charlie Kaufman. Yeah.
Making arguably the most creative original movie of all time, being John Malkovich. How the hell does that happen?
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a tangent.
So they go off on their own. So Ryan, Bam, and all the CKY people go off and start doing the Viva La Bam. The way the show started, which I thought this was funny, they had MTV sent out this producer who like rents a condo, rents a car around Westchester where they're going to be filming Viva La Bam. So Ryan and Bam go over there and they take that big Hummer that they're always driving around and they drive the guy's rent a car directly into his living room through the window like at 3 a.m. at this producer's place that he's renting. And this guy's like, what the fuck is going on here?
As you should say.
And you see Ryan saying like, I'm getting arrested for this. I know. Oh,
how many times did they think that they were maybe breaking the law or...
I think that's why they wanted to keep it within the parameters of the Westchester, because they probably knew cops around there and stuff, and the cops were probably like, yeah, that's just Bam being Bam, whatever.
Because you hear those stories about like one girl kind of nudged her friend into the swimming pool and then her friend was paralyzed from that.
Yeah.
Apply that to Jackass.
I'm shocked that any of this stuff, that antics that Bam and Ryan did, like none of it led to someone getting paralyzed or killed or anything like that. Until, you know, something happened, of course.
Not related, right?
It wasn't being filmed, so the kind of unrelated, separate thing. But
Dunn did have injuries, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I'll get to that in a little bit. He did have some bad injuries. Along with doing Viva La Bam, they did a movie called Haggard, which is a story about a guy whose slutty girlfriend leaves him, you know, Speaking of highbrow, it's awful on every level. I gave it like 10 minutes. I'm like, this movie is awful.
Never heard of it. Was it released widely?
It was not. It was like, you know, it's kind of the same.
Dumb question.
It was like
straight to the trash can.
Yeah. Pretty much the same way CKY videos did, but not as popular as what they were doing before. They did another movie called Ming Hags in 2009, which I didn't watch, but I'm sure it was equally as bad.
Ming Hags?
Yeah.
Ming Hags.
Ming Hags. Yeah, that's really great to confuse people just with the title.
Yeah.
On that movie, there was a production assistant named Zach Hartwell who was listed on the movie as a car stunt driver. He was a production assistant from Jackass and an Iraq war veteran.
Wow.
Who was working with them.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, they did these side movie projects while still doing their bread and butter Viva La Bam, which lasted for 5 seasons.
Was that show basically the same as Jackass?
A lot of it was the same. I think they had like a storyline that they would follow, whereas Jackass, the only storyline is the stunts.
Yeah, exactly. And they would just do a lot of stunts in like on Bam's property. He would mess with his parents most of the time. He was slapping his dad around.
Yeah, he's beating his dad's ass. That's one thing I remember from Jackass very clearly.
Yeah, his dad would be trying to take a shit and he'd bust in and just be slapping the shit out of him.
His poor family members.
Yeah.
He also had that uncle character, Don Vito.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, I get a whole Don Vito chuck.
Yeah.
You're not going to surprise me with anything here.
I give up. I'm done.
Yeah.
You're Ryan Dunn. Well, you don't want to be Ryan Dunn here at the end.
No.
It's not going to turn out
pretty.
You
don't want to be Don Vito either.
Yeah. So, yeah, the gist of it is his Bam's whole family and then some of his friends that kind of like, you know, do pranks and like, and like fuck around and, you know, drive the Hummer into crazy shit.
A wild reality show.
Yes. He would beat up his dad all the time. And then Don Vito, like you were saying, he took that spot. He became the guy that the old guy that got beat up all the time.
All right, tell us about Don Vito.
Well, Don Vito was basically just his uncle. He was like kind of a no one on the show on Viva La Bam until he ate a snake eye and then, or a pig eye rather.
Yeah,
he ate a pig eye and then he got very popular.
Ugh.
Yeah, and then he ripped his toenail off.
Oh, I remember that.
And Ryan Dunn was waking up from a hangover, and it made him vomit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then people are like, Don Vito is a fucking bankable star here.
Makes me want to vomit just remembering that.
Yeah, he became like that guy. He just spoke unintelligibly and just like, you remember. And they'd beat him up, and they'd like they go to Mexico, and they'd leave him back home.
Yeah.
So, you know, the show's going pretty well. Everything seems somewhat normal. But Don Vito, eventually, I didn't know this, but he would go around the country and, like, sign autographs. He got so big, he was signing autographs.
Go around the country? You mean, like, a conventions
something he was at a
go
mall
to malls
he was at a mall one time
he would just show up at the mall like who wants my autograph
with a pen
who wants to play with me
pretty much.
He was at the Colorado Mills Mall in Lakewood, Colorado. I don't know how far away that is from like Aurora or any of the other crazy shit that was.
I think that must be the Denver suburb.
It is very close to
Denver. Outside of Denver.
Yeah
How close is it to Columbine? Never mind. All right, Mark, go.
Very close.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. It's like 3 towns over.
Oh. Wow.
You went to Columbine one time.
I did.
Yeah.
But I don't want to steal the thunder from Ryan Dunn. I'll tell that story another time. But I did have a very moving visit to Columbine where I was wearing a trench coat, coincidentally.
Oh, boy. Because coincidentally.
It sounds like a joke, but it was really cold out, and I was doing some canvassing for the voter registration in 2008.
There, yeah.
They have starter jackets. Yeah. You don't need a trench coat.
For the Nazi party.
A group of us went to Goodwill and I just needed a jacket for the afternoon because it was chilly. And I unraveled the thing outside. It's like a trench coat. And then I look at the neighborhood I'm assigned to go to. It's fucking... Someone points out in the car on the way there, like, oh my God, I get the chills every time I see that place. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, Columbine, it's right there. Oh, really? Yeah,
his boner came through his trench coat.
He salivated.
Humming a.
And so I dropped the group off at their spots to canvas and get people registered for voters. And I
you're really the manager. You're really taking control of the situation.
I fast-tracked to Columbine to be continued.
Okay. We'll stick a pin in that for now, I guess. But so what Don Vito was doing there, I don't know if he was wearing a trench coat or what. I don't know what he was wearing. But either way, he was signing autographs, and there was 2 12-year-old girls that he inappropriately touched.
Him just touching anybody is inappropriate.
Yeah, it's
he's just gross. Dude.
Him just showing up is inappropriate.
He had like one dead eye and stuff.
He sure did.
You know,
many dead teeth and toenails.
Like,
and he's dead now.
Yeah,
he is dead. Yeah. But he did get caught doing this. And he was actually represented after he went to trial by Pamela Mackey, who represented Kobe Bryant in his 2003-2004 sexual assault case. Same fucking lawyer.
Really?
Don Vito got it like that.
Yeah.
You represent me.
So he got the big guns.
He did, yeah. He pleaded not guilty.
And another crazy coincidence, Kobe Bryant is also dead.
Yeah. I don't. Is it related? We don't know. We'll stick a pin in that, too. The trial started October 22nd in Golden, Colorado. The attorney argued that his client had been playing a goofy, outrageous, and vulgar character like he was used to playing on Viva La Bam. So that's what he was doing for these 12-year-olds.
That's a horrible defense.
He's feeling them up.
That is the worst defense you could come up with.
Wow.
The prosecutor said this man was out of control during this public event. He was also so intoxicated that he peed his pants while he was touching these children.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
I don't know if that was pee. We'll stick a pin in that too.
This lady loves taking on accused rapists. In 2017, the attorney who will be taking over as lead counsel in the defense of a Casper businessman accused of raping an unconscious 20-year-old woman.
Oh my God.
Has considerable experience in such cases.
Jesus Christ.
Is Pamela Mackey.
What a slime bag. Is that a word?
She's either a slime bag or she's like awesome where she's just taking these assholes' money and doing horrible defenses like that.
Yeah.
And so she knows she's going to lose.
Well, maybe she just dumps it on purpose.
Yeah, maybe.
Because Don Vito got 10 years probation.
Doesn't sound like they won.
He was guilty. Yeah.
Did he not go to jail?
He didn't go to jail. He got 10 years probation. And the other stipulation is this. How weird is this? He was not allowed to be Don Vito for 10 years.
What?
He's not allowed to be the character Don Vito.
Wow.
Even though his name is Don Vito.
This is not like MTV or like, you know, any executive saying this or anyone working for MTV. It's a fucking judge that says you can't be Don Vito for 10 years.
Yeah, because his name is really Vincent Margera.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
He can't be like, he can't
I'm
be
Don
that.
Vito. That is very interesting, though.
They read the verdict and Don Vito collapsed and he just yells out, "You might as well kill me now."
Then someone shoots him.
Yeah.
If I can't touch 12-year-olds, just kill me now.
Kill me now.
Why on earth would he want to continue doing the Don Vito shtick after that whole ordeal?
Because he's fucking nuts.
Well, yeah, because he's crazy.
It'd be like Jeffrey Jones, like, "Hey, when's Beetlejuice 2?
What, like after he...
before.
Yeah.
He's probably just one of these morons that... as soon as they get a little bit of clout, just believes their own shit and thinks that they're actually like fucking awesome better than other people.
And if he's drunk enough that he's pissing himself, I think he's just also, that makes it so much worse.
Right.
Of course. Yeah. It's got to be traumatizing if the pee is splashing everywhere.
Oh my God.
The pee is splashing everywhere.
Yeah. I'm talking about traumatizing for anybody within, you know,
the county.
The vicinity. Yeah.
If Don Vito pissed on me and I was First of all, why am I at this signing?
Yeah. That's the other thing. I don't care what your age is. Who the hell
Who's
wants
in line
his autograph?
Yeah, for a Don Vito.
I don't even want Tom Cruise's autograph.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with Don Vito's autograph?
Don Vito.
You know what I mean? I don't keep like...
Sorry, I can't go to your grandma's funeral. I got to go to Don Vito's autograph signing at the mall.
The Hobbylite Mall.
The Hobbylite Mall.
I don't even like keeping like important greeting cards from loved ones.
Yeah.
What the fuck am I going to do with Don Vito on a piece of paper? That smells like urine.
Sorry, I cannot make it to your wedding. Don Vito is signing my ass on Sunday.
He's signing pictures of his dead toenail.
Oh, yeah, the toenail.
Although,
You get a toenail.
Let's be real. If we had a toenail and a piece of paper with his autograph right now,
yeah,
we'd start the Death and Entertainment Museum.
I'd take the toenail, yeah. So either way, he was cut out from Jackass 2 and 2.5, which it recently recorded. So he was high on like the Don Vito-ness, but they, after that, they take everything away from you.
That's right. I read about that. That he had filmed something in Jackass number 2.
They deleted him.
And they, who replaced it, do you know? I feel like I read
it's
that.
It's not like they recast Don Vito.
But I feel like I
John
read.
John Goodman plays Don Vito.
That they did do the stunt again with somebody else.
Oh, because they cut to him? I don't know.
Do you see anything on that, Kyle?
I'm trying to look it
like,
up right
like
now.
They wanted to skateboard over Don Vito with like a naked guy or something who like took a shit.
Yeah. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
He was cut out.
Things were not great for Don Vito, but things were also not great for Ryan Dunn, the subject of our podcast here.
And how's Bam doing at this time?
Bam is starting to drink a little bit more.
Okay.
I think they were all just getting full of themselves. Mm-hmm. People are starting to fuck up.
Yeah.
Because everyone was getting too big. Everyone was getting too much money.
The first Jackass movie, that made a ton of money.
Yeah.
So did number two.
Well, this takes us to number two because as we were saying before, at the end of Jackass 2, as it was wrapping up, they did like some big, you know, promotional thing to wrap it up in which everyone was standing around in like wearing cowboy gear and they all had ropes tied around their feet. Mm-hmm. And then this horse would like take them all away.
Oh my God.
I remember that.
And everyone was fine and it looked like innocuous and like it didn't seem to hurt anyone. But for some reason, Ryan Dunn just fell the worst way on his shoulder.
Ugh.
He got a blood clot in his shoulder, which almost killed him.
Wow.
Like he was like minutes away from dying.
Minutes?
Yeah.
So how did they save him?
They took him to a doctor and the doctor's like, this is too big of a job for me. Like, dude, you're going to die. And they took him to a hospital.
Fuck. That's what you want to hear.
Yeah, dude, you're going to die. Yeah.
We got not a couple a good, minutes left.
Not a good doctor, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm just bringing this up because this is actually really interesting. Don Vito was actually photoshopped out of Jackass 2.
What?
In the trailer, you can see him sitting there, and in the movie, he's fucking gone.
Holy shit.
Literally photoshopped. We'll have to post that on the Instagram so people can see.
Absolutely.
But that's really funny. Thing. Recast or like replace him with another stunt, they literally CGI'd him out.
Yeah.
George Lucas is like, oh, it's easy. I'll show you how to do it.
Yeah. And put Jar Jar Binks in there. So yeah,
Hayden Christensen is in the background. Yeah.
So people notice like, you know, they've seen Ryan Dunn do some crazy shit. He fell on his shoulder and like, they're like, are you okay, dude? He's like, he looked like he was going to die.
Yeah.
He's like, I feel like I'm going to die right now, guys, just so you know.
Oh,
and
fuck.
This is a dude that like jumps in shit and like, you know, jumps off a roof and stuff.
Yeah.
He's fine.
And I know what a blood clot feels like.
I didn't know anything about this.
All right. A blood clot is unimaginably painful.
Wow.
It's the most pain you can feel without actually breaking something.
Yeah.
But to imagine it in your arm, that's crazy. Because first of all, you don't want it above your waist.
Because it'll go
to
your
the heart or lungs.
And the lungs.
Or it'll brain.
Have an embolism. But that must be like a new level of pain that you just can't.
He just got
picture.
Hit in the wrong yep. spot. Totally. After that, he was laid up for months and months and months. And then to add insult to injury, he got Lyme disease from a tick.
Jesus.
And it just made things so much worse. That even makes you depressed.
Like Lyme brain, they call it.
Lyme brain, yeah.
Where it affects them for sometimes the rest of their life.
They're Lyme. So he was out of the picture for 2 years. He's like, fuck this. Fuck Jackass. fuck all these guys. Fuck CKY. You know, fuck Bam Margera. Wow. Fuck Don Vito.
Before he fucks you.
Before he fucks you or fondles you.
Boy, he pisses Fondelac. On you. Oh,
come anyway. On. Oh.
You mean fondle sack?
So he's out of the picture for 2 years straight. No one even knows what's going on with him. His sister, Ryan's sister, witnessed him like just totally sink into himself. Like some people would always come up to him when they went out for dinner and be like, hey, you're Ryan Dunn from Jackass. You're the guy that stuck the car up his ass. And usually he'd like be great with fans and stuff. But at this time he's like, no, that's not me. You're thinking of someone else.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
So he was not he's not the old happy go lucky Ryan Dunn as he used to be.
And yeah. He's not working at a gas station again, is he?
Well, I guess it could be worse. Yeah, he could be working at the gas station.
I wonder how many people were walking away like, I swear to God, that's the fucking guy.
Yeah.
Full of shit.
Yeah. It just like ruins your brain.
Yeah, yeah. It like fucks with people.
You beat your wife or something because you're so angry that like it's not Ryan Dunn.
I just saw a YouTube short where that happened with Chris Tucker. They're filming it and they go up to him. They're like, aren't you Chris Tucker? And he's like, oh, I get that all the time.
Nah, man.
And he sounds exactly like Chris Tucker, by the way.
What the fuck do you think I'm Chris Tucker for, man?
And then suddenly they're like, no, that you're Chris Tucker. And he's like, oh, man, how'd you figure it out?
Yeah, except for that Jeffrey Jones thing in that time in the airport, I never go up to like celebrities and say, are you that person? Because I know it's them.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the conversation after that?
Right.
Yeah, I'm Dana Gould.
Yeah.
Well, okay. What's your follow up to that?
I got
that
nothing.
It is weird to ask someone, are you him?
So eventually Ryan comes back around, starts hanging out with the CKY guys again. He seemed to get his confidence back a little bit.
Getting the mojo back.
He's got his mojo back. He did a small appearance on the show Nitro Circus. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
With Travis Pastrana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nitro Circus.
It was like motorsport, like X Games type shit.
This dude was nuts. Yeah. I remember that guy. He would do the craziest shit on like a motorbike.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Was this MTV 2 or MTV?
MTV 2, I'm pretty sure.
MTV 2 was doing some wild programming at that time. Do you remember Wonder Chosen?
Oh, yeah, dude.
That was so kooky, but I really liked it.
I liked
it.
Yeah, it was good.
We had the tapes of it before it became a TV show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was crazy. In high school, we watched this shit. And then
hilarious.
I was like, how the fuck did MTV pick this up? I remember there was one we used to quote all the time where it was like, this little girl was like, dear Jesus, thank you for the bacon cheeseburger, you loser.
It was so nonsensical.
Just weird shit, yeah.
Or the, not man on the street, but it'd be kid on the street asking weird questions of people, catching them off guard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, I don't know if that led to, like, do you remember the man show would have that kid on the street? He was like, hey, what's up with you? And he goes like, yeah, nothing. And he would be like, why don't you head for the mountains, buddy? I think it was Andy Milonakis, actually. That's where he started.
Where you were shocked to find out the guy's actually like 30 years old.
I was shocked. I was totally shocked.
Yeah, the man show boy.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Andy Milonakis, dude. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He could pass as a kid until he was like 40.
Oh, no, seriously, head for the mountains, dude. I thought that was so funny. So anyway, after, you know, Ryan Dunn feeling better, get a little more confident, he comes back for Jackass 3, and it was like he never left. You know, he falls right back into that Dunn role. And he was in a great place, like mentally and emotionally. He went on to get a brand new show called G4's Proving Ground, which is the new show that he shot, I think, like 10 episodes of. That was going to be his new show. It was like 2010, 2011 or something.
Oh, wow. I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, I think it was like one of those shows where they help you figure out how to do basic things in life.
Yeah.
Mm.
Before they did other shows after that, I think that are like similar premise.
I remember G4 being like a launch pad. I think Olivia Munn originally was on there.
Was she?
I think so.
Before she got impregnated by John Mulaney.
Oh, I have an answer for the Don Vito thing in
Let's
Jackass number 2.
Yeah.
It was a stunt where his tooth was pulled out.
Oof.
A string attached to a car.
Oh, yeah.
A Lamborghini, and it pulls the tooth out. It wasn't in Jackass number 2 because that was his stunt, so they just cut it.
Okay.
But they recreated it for number 3, Jackass 3D.
Oh, Lamborghini, no shit.
Tooth yank.
So, yeah, after that, he filmed a couple, like, small movies. He did a movie, TV show called The Bait Haunting, and then he did an indie movie called Living Will, in which he plays a ghost who haunts his best friend and cousin who recently began dating.
What?
Yeah.
He was an actor?
He was an actor. Yeah. Well, he was the main star of that horrible movie that Bam did, in which, you know, it's not a good movie.
Ming Hang.
No, and then Haggard was the first one. Yeah.
These titles. Let's think of the worst possible title we can think of.
While we're drunk in Westchester, Pennsylvania.
And then we'll roll with it.
We'll roll with it. Yeah. Yeah. So he did like these bad. I think Living Will is actually a more professionally done movie.
Okay. So he's starting to set the stage maybe for a later career actor kind of thing.
I think so. I think people liked him. I think someone called him like everyone's best friend. He looks like that guy who's everyone's best friend. You know, he's not going to fuck with you. And he's like a good dude.
Yeah.
Good guy to have around. And he was like back to himself a little bit.
Still drinking, though.
Still drinking.
Boy, was he ever.
Was he ever. Drinking. Well, let's get down to it here. Let's get to the reason why we came here, guys.
Yeah. All right.
Let's get to the death of Ryan Dunn.
Why you mean we didn't just come here to talk about Don Vito?
Yeah. Ryan, another thing about him, he was not good behind the wheel. He was a good driver, but like he was chaotic. Like he'd drive like a fucking maniac whenever he was driving.
Those are conflicting statements.
He had control over the wheel, but he'd drive like 130 miles per hour.
He chose to be a jackass.
Going down he was a jackass.
Bam Margera's mom used to always say, slow down, you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah.
Because he always would just speed.
He had like 10 to 15 cars, so he was like a gearhead, basically.
Oh,
like,
he did?
He liked messing with cars, and he was like a Jay Leno, but you know, but not that awful. He wouldn't wear that much denim.
I was just thinking that. Okay, so he's like Seinfeld and Leno.
Yeah, but also he'd put people's lives in danger for like a thrill, just for fun, basically. Mm-hmm. It's not, which is not cool, in my opinion.
And even, I think he might have killed someone later on.
Yeah, I believe he did.
Jay Leno has not done that yet, by the way.
No, he just subjected us to his horrible comedy. Of. Yeah. Death by his jokes.
If he was a serial killer this whole time, you find out.
That would make the most sense, actually. So Bam told a story about when they were in high school. Ryan told a buddy he could hook his Volkswagen Jetta up with like a brand new car stereo at the mall. So his friend like threw him the keys and stuff, like, all right, sure. You know, go get it done. So Ryan gets Jesse Margera, Bam Margera, and Rab himself, and they go on like a joyride with this guy's Volkswagen Jetta, basically. Wow. Whether or not he was planning on putting the car stereo in the car, I don't know. So at some point, they're blaring the radio, they're having the best time of their lives, and then Ryan gets the car up to like 110 miles per hour, which is like a shaky Volkswagen Jetta.
Yeah.
Which is like...
Yeah, the wheel is probably just like...
Yeah, exactly. I remember I had a Ford Escort. I got to like 90, and it was like that. Like,
yeah,
it was crazy.
Yeah, 110? Are you fucking kidding me? On just the normal road?
On a normal road, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess where else would it be?
Yeah.
Like a racetrack?
Well, a highway.
No, it wasn't like a five-lane highway. It was just like a surface street.
Okay.
Yeah, so
Jesus.
So he flips the car into oncoming traffic.
And when Shut the fuck up.
When I say flip the car, I don't mean like horizontal. They're flipping like over like this, like head to front to back.
Wow.
It's like a fucking John McClane.
Ass over tea kettle. Yeah, it's like head over heels.
Yeah.
How do you survive that?
Well, right before he was about to crash, I guess Rab himself grabs Bam's fucking safety belt and puts it in because he knows something bad's about to happen.
Oh, smart guy.
My God.
Bam didn't even have a fucking seatbelt on.
Jesus.
I guess Jesse, the brother, flies out of the fucking car.
Oof.
Bam's head fucking breaks one of the windows. Jesse Margera flies out of the car, lands in the trees.
Unbelievable. This is all pre-Jackass.
This is all pre-Jackass.
Yeah, this is high school.
Yeah.
This is like, this is what kills teenagers.
Yeah.
I don't know how this didn't end in a fiery wreck.
I guess fiery wreck, the car just didn't catch on fire. Maybe like it was a Volkswagen Jetta.
Certainly a wreck.
Yeah.
Fine, but how doesn't it end with all of them as pancakes?
Yeah.
I don't know. Rab is the only one who survived perfectly, like nothing bad happened to him, but they all got pretty fucked up. But like nothing like noticeable, like in which like no one was paralyzed or anything, they were fucking lucky as shit.
Of course.
And ever since then, April Margera didn't hate Ryan Dunn. She still like dealt with him, but like was like pissed at him.
Yeah.
that like they were like she was like a freewheeling mom on the show. Like you it would be take a lot to really phase her, but she really hated that moment because both of her sons were in the fucking car.
I would hate that person too.
But imagine all the other things he did before that moment.
Yeah, exactly.
You make it sound like he wanted to flip it.
Maybe he had a death wish. I don't know, but maybe subconsciously. But I don't think him as a person seems like a guy that wanted to kill five people in a car.
Yeah, okay. Never mind.
Yeah. I'm getting Alejandro fired up here.
Well, no, it's just like, come on.
I don't know. He just enjoyed driving like a fucking maniac.
As a teenager, I drove like a maniac, not on purpose, you know?
Yeah.
So there's enough of that. So why do it on purpose?
Well, over time, he got 23 driving citations. He got, I think, 10 for speeding, and he got a DUI in 2005, which he pleaded guilty and got off by doing like their classes and stuff.
Hmm. First-time offenders.
First-time offenders class, yeah. So he got the whatever guilty charge switched to like a not guilty. Yeah, I guess the last thing that happened was that he drove the Gumball 3000. I don't know if you guys remember that, but that's like a trip through all of Europe where these guys drive these like these high octane like sports cars through Europe for Jackass.
Yeah.
And he was doing, Bam said he was scared shitless throughout the entire time.
And that takes a lot to yeah. scare Bam.
So one night, June 20th, 2011, Ryan is out drinking in Philadelphia with his buddy, Zach Hartwell. Remember that the stunt driver from Ming Hangs? who is the Iraq War veteran?
Yes.
Oh, that's him.
That's him.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're hanging out in Philadelphia.
David Lynch's favorite place.
Philadelphia, yeah.
That inspired the movie Eraserhead.
Yeah. On the way back, they stop by this place called Barnaby's in Westchester, which is, you know, the town where they all grew up and stuff. And they stayed out there drinking until like 3 a.m. I think Ryan had about 11 to 12 drinks. People, witnesses have said it could have been more or less.
Mm-hmm. And what's he drinking?
I don't know. That's a good question. It could have been, I don't know if it was beers or if it was like hard booze. Because obviously if he's drinking like vodkas and he's drinking 11,
yeah,
that's like really bad.
Well, the last picture of him, it looks like a beer.
Does it? Okay. Yeah. So maybe it was beers and stuff, and they're just counting them as drinks. I would call those beers instead of just calling them drinks. So after they're hanging out and stuff at like 3 a.m., Ryan and Zach are going home in Ryan's brand new Porsche 911 Carrera. They're on Route 322 in the town of West Goshen. The Porsche 911 is also the car that killed Paul Walker, remember?
Oh.
They called this car the Widowmaker.
Holy shit.
They because made some widows.
It's rear-wheel drive, and it's just fucking scary as shit to drive in if you're not 100% with it.
So a lot of people have been killed driving it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, well, it's not like, it shouldn't be a street car. Like, people should not be driving this, like, to the fucking market or to the laundromat.
Yeah.
It's like a race car. You know, you got to be a professional to kind of like understand how crazy this car is.
It's not a street car named Desire.
Ah.
It's a street it's a street car named Destruction.
Exactly. Thank you. Is this thing on? Then turn it off.
That is mine.
Cut it. Fuck it. They were believed to have been driving around 130 miles per hour.
Wow.
Whoa.
And it's not, it's like a dark road with like not a lot of street lights. Yeah. It's kind of windy.
Lots of trees.
Yeah, lots of trees and stuff. And it's just.
Yeah, it's probably like a two lane.
It's not like the 405, which is like a fucking six lane highway. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that. Even driving 130 on that is crazy to me.
It's probably similar to the dark roads that Jane Mansfield died on.
Yeah, not a lot of light, and just like if you drive too fast, you don't even realize where you are.
Yeah, you can't drive too fast yeah. on there.
Yeah, those rural highways in the Northeast, it's two lane highway, dark, windy.
Yeah.
Not to be sped on.
No, definitely not. So at some point, Ryan loses control of the Porsche. They hit the guardrail, sending the car into a ravine where it bursts into flames. It's not certain whether or not they died instantly or how long it took them to die.
I'm sure. Must have been instant. They hit the guardrail. They went airborne and went right into trees.
Yeah. And then
immediately.
Yeah. And then into this little ravine there. And like they died of blunt force trauma and thermal trauma, which is the technical term, but it pretty much means you were hit and then you got caught on fire.
Yeah. It burns. Yep.
And no one knows how long it took them to die.
Same with Paul Walker.
Pretty much, yeah. I think it's not 100% certain, but people believed he died relatively quickly because he wasn't breathing after.
Yeah, there was no like soot in his lungs or whatever.
Yeah. The police chief said, I've never seen a car destroyed in an automobile accident the way this car was even before it caught on fire.
Yeah, look at this thing. Wouldn't even know that's a car.
Yeah.
It looks like a fish.
He
like a burnt fish.
Yeah.
Do you see that shape?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't. Yeah, you're right. It looks like a.
It came apart. The car. He's the police chief went on to say the automobile actually came apart. It was unbelievable. And I've seen a lot of fatal accident scenes like this, but the car just broke apart.
It looks like an art installation at this point.
I was gonna say it looks like some shitty rich kids art installation in fucking the arts district.
Yeah.
I call this Ryan Dunn.
Oh my god.
I call this I'm all done. I guess the skid mark on the road, where Dunn tried to break or turn spanned 100 feet.
Really?
Yeah.
Kyle has the picture open. That is quite a skid mark on the road though.
Yeah. And I'm sure they go for way longer behind this picture.
Jesus.
You can't even tell where the mark ends.
Yeah.
It's like it's the same shape as the real lines on the road.
Yeah.
Like it looks like it's just another line on the road.
Direct line.
Very straight. Yeah.
Straight into the ravine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what he was thinking in those last seconds. Like
probably, oh fuck.
Oh yeah, probably.
Oh shit.
Hold on.
We're flying.
Yeah, I guess it was also dark and windy. Dark and windy that night. So
probably a little windy, too.
Probably a little windy, yeah. Mm-hmm. The speed limit was 55, so that gives you an idea of how fast you should or should not be going.
He was going almost three times that.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
He had a blood alcohol level. I think it was twice the state's legal limit of 0.08%.
That's it.
Yeah, that's. I thought it would be worse, to be honest.
And the fact that he's drinking beers.
Yeah.
I was imagining he was doing shots and.
Well, I think people start early with shots and then they kind of like, okay, as the night goes on, you know,
yeah,
responsible.
I'm
going to
hydrate with these beers.
Yeah.
And that third guy in the picture?
They don't know who. It doesn't say who that was.
Okay.
And I'm guessing that's the person, though. That's.
No, it is. They know who it is.
That's not Zach Hartwell, though.
No, there's a picture with Zach Hartwell and Ryan Dunn, and there's a third guy in between them.
Oh, okay. I didn't have who that third person was. Sorry.
Like, who was hanging out
that
night?
I think Ryan tweeted that picture, though.
He did.
I think so.
Yeah, it was his last post.
Because if that guy was part of the group, he must be thinking, like, God, thankfully I didn't get into that car with them.
Absolutely. Some people know, like, not to get in a car.
Oh, it was just them two. I thought for some reason it was all three of
those guys. I think you're right. I think it was just a random person who's like, who he took a picture with, and like, you know, and Ryan took it and just posted it on his own Twitter. Also,
it's just an interesting thought. Like, you're taking an infamous last photo.
Yeah, famous last tweet. Well, actually, speaking of Twitter, Roger Ebert got on Twitter after Ryan died, and he tweeted, "Friends don't let jackasses drive drunk."
Jeez.
And what did Bam have to say about it?
Bam was not happy about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was intelligible what Bam said, but I know he was not happy. But
I do know that he said, I'm here mourning my friend, and then that asshole fuck Roger Ebert has to tweet, blah, blah, blah. Like, could you imagine going after a guy that doesn't have a jaw due to cancer? Like, leave the fucking guy alone.
Well, the crazy thing about Bam, though, this is nuts. This is like, Bam is crazy, but this is like completely insane. Bam said that he had a premonition at the moment, because he was in Arizona doing like a skate promotion thing. He said at the same moment at 12:30. He felt something when Ryan died.
I've never lost anybody that I care about. It's my best friend. I was in Arizona when I heard, and I just remember I was with some friends having the best time ever. And at 12:30, I just started punching out the windows of the rental van and ripping out the speakers, and I don't even know why. I wasn't mad at anything or anybody. And
what?
If it's 12:30 there, that means that
he's doing the math on the time difference.
You got a problem there, dude.
I know.
Oh, boy.
Him and Anton LaVey. Remember, Anton LaVey was cutting Mansfield's head out of a magazine.
Yeah, the German newspaper. That is,
I'm sick of all these people making stupid shit up when someone dies. Like, I dropped my glass at 12:30.
Yeah, or like trying to put these things together, like they're all connected. Like, bam.
Yeah, make a story out of it.
You were on coke in Arizona, and you're like, the coke was hitting you too hard, and you start punching shit.
Neglecting the fact that the night before, he was probably punching the shit out of something, too.
Bam's crazy. I think
that's
this,
an understatement.
This is the straw that broke the camel's back with Bam Margera, I think. He had been drinking a good amount. He claimed he never drank one beer before Jackass, which I doubt. And he claims Jackass is what really drove him insane.
Yeah, because he was doing hard liquor.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe he switched to hard liquor, too, and not just Coors Light. I don't know, but he went into a total spiral, which is still going on to this day. He's been on Dr. Phil. He seems to like being, like, I noticed a trend with all these guys. They like being taped at every moment of their life. Same thing with Steve-O when he was going through his treatment and stuff and his, like, 12-step program. They're all... There's a video camera on them the entire time.
Because they're used to it. They like the fame.
Yeah. Well, Bam has never really recovered from his death, but I think he was going in a spiral in that way before. He was doing Adderall before that. I think that's Adderall and hard liquor are a very bad combination.
Yeah.
It makes you loud and it makes you fucking stupid.
And premonition aside, or whatever the hell you would call it, he was punching out the rental car before he heard about Ryan Dunn's death.
So
Ryan Dunn didn't call him and say, like, yo, dude, I'm about to fly into a ravine.
Oh, God.
Bam has been in and out of rehab like 10 times, mental institutions a couple times.
Dr. Phil.
He's publicly gone after all his old friends. He's currently suing Jackass after they fired him from the last movie. He gets into fights with random strangers on the street. He got kicked off a plane in Atlanta for being too drunk. You really got to be that really drunk to get kicked off a plane like that.
Yeah.
Or really angry like Alec Baldwin.
Pretty much, yeah. Shoot someone in the face. He got into a fight with a bellboy in L.A., and then he got a DUI in L.A. a couple days later. He's like Andy Dick. But he travels more, though.
And he just escaped from a rehab facility, and he was just located this week. So he went back to rehab this week.
Yeah.
Right. He went missing a couple times.
Yeah.
His mom even says on this Dr. Phil appearance I was watching, he's like, his mom was like, he's on something else. It's more than just Adderall and alcohol. I think he's on crack, to be honest. Do you want to play this, Kyle?
It could be, yeah.
We've got to find out, are you bipolar? To find out if you have an anxiety disorder.
Yes.
Find out really everything that's going on with you.
A
lot.
He needs to stop being in denial. He's doing more than Adderall.
April Marjorie.
Obviously. You can see that on Instagram. Nobody acts like that.
I think I'm so frustrated that, like, everybody just must be like, what are you on? I'm like, I'm not on anything. You're crazy.
I'm just asking you if you'll cooperate in doing this.
I've just lost hope on doctors, and you're the one that I would only listen to. The last person I'd left is Dr. Phil, or else I give up.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
That's when you're really bad. Yeah. When you think Dr. Phil's going to save you?
Everybody knows that if you're a guest on Dr. Phil, your life's in the shitter.
And it's not going to get better from that appearance.
No.
Yeah.
No.
He's under a guardianship now, which means, like, they took all his money away, and, you know,
He is under.
I guess for Jackass,
conservatorship.
He had to piss in a cup every day for Paramount Pictures, and, he had, like... He had to go there, like, all the time in order to confirm that he wasn't on drugs.
Wow. So he's got, like, that Britney Spears thing going, the conservatorship?
Yeah, yeah.
And his parents, obviously, are in charge.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
What a crappy conservatorship to get stuck with, though. With Britney Spears, they're, like, raking in the millions.
Yeah.
With Bam, I mean, what do you got?
Nothing. Actually, you know, to make things worse, Don Vito dies in 2015.
That's a bad thing for him, right?
I guess so.
Okay.
To make things worse.
Yeah.
Or to celebrate.
I don't know. Yeah, celebrate the life of Don Vito. But that broke him up too. And I think Don Vito, after he got that 10-year whatever sentence, I think it really, really hurt him. So the Margera family's not doing well these days. to say the least. We have one more meltdown from Bam. I know we're going video heavy here, but I have one last meltdown before we can move on here.
Jackass was everything to me. And now I'm so relieved that...
Oh my God. And it says Bam Margera presents. A title says that.
That's cocaine.
Jesus Christ. He's yakking into a toilet.
Here. He just probably got the cocaine drip.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Knoxville.
That makes Tyrese look pretty well-rounded.
Congratulations.
Fuck you, Knoxville.
He says, Bam says Knoxville and Spike Jonze made him sign an agreement that they could fire him if he did any drugs. And apparently he did Adderall and drank a bunch. And so he was out. So he was out of the last Jackass.
He's basically. Like, does this count as drugs? I'm on a bunch of Adderall and drinking.
Yeah. I guess there was a lawsuit from the Iraqi veteran sued the estate of Ryan Dunn for the accident. And I think they got some money because he had just recently got married. And that was a sad thing to see.
Oh my
him
God.
Yeah.
Did he have a kid?
No kid yet.
Okay,
but he
just got married.
Just got married.
And served in Iraq.
Yeah.
Yeah, you survived that to come home and die in a fucking crash after drinking.
In a Porsche. Yeah, fuck. That fucking sucks, man.
Yeah, and it's just supposed to be a fun night out. You're having beers.
And then this guy decides to drive. You know, I like Ryan Dunn from doing this research on him. I think I like the guy. I think I would have got along with him. I think a lot of people did like him.
Just wouldn't drive with him.
But I think that's just incredibly reckless and stupid to drive like that.
Yeah.
A bunch of celebrities made official comments after his death. Sofia Coppola, which is an interesting one I noticed, but she made a comment. Tom Green, Carrie Hart, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Tony Hawk, and all the Jackass members.
Sofia was married to Spike Jonze.
That's true. Yeah.
She knew him probably.
Probably through that connection. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what other connection?
Who knows?
Her dad, Francis? Yeah. They met on the set of Jack?
No, on the set of Wind.
Oh, Wind, right.
When it blew off Jennifer Grey's nose.
Who can keep all his great movies straight at this point?
These classics.
Was Ryan Dunn possibly drinking any of Coppola's wine?
Oh, now you're opening a can of wine here.
Wouldn't that have been awful for them if in the photo, that last photo, he's holding up a bottle of Coppola's wine?
Yeah, huge bottle, chugging it in the Porsche 911.
They photoshopped that shit faster than Don Vito in number two.
a lot of Photoshop work getting done.
Yeah.
Kings of Leon paid homage to Dunn at their London Hyde Park concert by dedicating their McFearless song to him.
McFearless, it's called?
Yeah.
Okay, that's Mick Stupid.
Wow, Alejandro's giving the straight dope here.
Yeah.
At the end of the
getting pod, after people.
Getting after people. Not all the Dunn memorial stuff in celebrity culture was so positive, actually. Steve-O, who became a comedian for some reason, after he got sober, also for some reason, he got involved with the Comedy Central roasts. One roast he did in particular, everyone kept making fun of Ryan Dunn dying.
Yeah, and he got very...
He seemed to get pretty pissed.
Yes.
At the moment. I think he's since like matured and got over it.
Yeah. I think he figured out what it, you know, it's all jokes, but fuck,
he figured it out.
So mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What gave it away?
Yeah.
The fact that they're at a roast and people are laughing.
Yeah.
Amy Schumer actually gave the harshest one. I think, I don't know who she stole it from, but she did a pretty harsh roast joke in which she said, "I truly am, no joke, sorry for the loss of your friend, Ryan Dunn. I know you must have been thinking, it could have been me, and we were all thinking, why wasn't it?" That's the Steve-O.
Yeah, exactly. And he gave her an ice-cold stare.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not even giving a little smile,
like a smirk,
to be a sport.
Yeah.
I feel about that joke kind of how I felt about the Chris Rock joke, you know, G.I. Jane 2.
Yeah.
It really wasn't very funny.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, not a big deal. It's a roast.
It's what you came here to do. Yeah. There's some stinkers always, and Amy Schumer's going to tell a lot of them.
Yeah, she is.
But Steve-O later apologized to her, saying, you know, I was a little juvenile about that and too serious, and I'm sorry. And
what is he apologizing to her for? It's also okay to not laugh at a joke.
I think Steve was a good guy too, and I think, you know, he feels bad about, like, he's when he was just starting out in comedy. Mm-hmm. But when you work in comedy for like 10-15 years, you know, it's a tough slog, and anyone who's gone through it, you kind of like feel some kinship with them.
Yeah. And if you're, you know, getting into sobriety, you have to work the steps.
I think it could have been
apologizing is also making amends.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, Steve-O said Ryan was a huge alcoholic, and that's what killed him. That was his opinion. I think he was stupid and an alcoholic, and I think those two factor in. He had access to a lot of money and fast cars.
Yeah, exactly.
That was his opinion and everyone else's.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, he'd flip a non-race car over. He did it with the Jetta, so, I mean...
Yeah, the last thing with Bam Margera is he escaped a treatment facility... like a couple weeks ago, and he was missing for like a week, and then they found him. So he is not doing, he said, I think a quote I heard from him was saying, like, he's been mourning Ryan Dunn's death for 10 years and he's done. And then that's right before he went back into a facility and then went missing again. So who knows when he's going to finally kind of get to his senses and be done with all this nonsense.
For 10 years?
10 years. But that's also, it could be just masking the fact that he just has been an alcoholic for 10 years.
Kind of like him punching the rental car and blaming Ryan Dunn. He's still blaming
that
Ryan
to me,
Dunn for acting.
I was shocked. I was like, come, like, yeah, he's like, to Enterprise, that's the reason why he tells them that he broke their car.
Can you leave Ryan Dunn alone, finally? You got to stop blaming him for acting like a complete nutcase.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it. That's the Ryan Dunn unfortunate story.
Damn,
it is. You know, that guy, you know, the Iraq veteran.
Yeah.
What's his name again?
Zach Hartwell.
Yeah. That's really, like, you know, just
that to me was the worst part of it, because he wasn't not mixed up in the game,
no,
as you'd say.
Not
you
at
know,
all.
He wasn't in the game. He was just kind of like, he was an assistant. He's made no money. Like, Ryan Dunn died with some money. He had some money.
God, and he was probably,
he had a TV deal. He had like shit going on.
Oh, yeah. He knows fame, he knows like the good life, and this guy, he was probably having an amazing night, like, oh, I'm friends with Ryan Dunn, we're having such an awesome time.
Oh, it looks like Barnaby's, the bar that he was,
they got sued too for over serving him. I forgot to mention that, sorry.
Bar will not face charges, but they did get sued for civil stuff. I mean, yeah, what are you going to do?
It's hard to make a charge like that stick. You know, like you serve them too much. But whereas they were at like three other places.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And they don't know that they're driving.
Yeah, exactly. How are you supposed to know who's has driving. A car out front?
Yeah, you can't like be like a nanny and just, you know, see who's driving and who's not, you know?
Yeah, people got to be responsible for themselves.
You said Kyle's a libertarian now.
Yes.
They're lucky they didn't take any more with them. They could have hit someone out. I mean, clearly he was out of his fucking mind, and they had no idea which way was up, and that's why they landed in the ravine. Well, that could have been a car they hit. That could have been someone on the street.
Could have been a kid, But it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, but still, like, you know, you never know.
NBC Philadelphia is saying that he had 6 shots, 2 beers.
That sounds a little more like it.
Yeah.
But,
that's
wow.
That's a lot of shots, yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
6.
I just got the chills thinking about shots.
And then 2 beers.
Shots. Kyle had a couple too many.
You need some water there, Kyle.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize this. NBC Philadelphia is, they reported that after they flew over the guardrail, they slammed into a tree and burst into flames less than 100 yards from Hartwell's home. They were fucking next to his house. I didn't even know
Man. They could have driven through his house at that rate.
Yeah. Wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Fuck. Well, you know, RIP.
Yeah. He's known for driving through people's houses.
And flipping cars.
Rest in peace, Don Vito, Ryan, Zach Hartwell.
Not so much Don. But
okay. Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
child molesters. We can.
He lasted longer than he needed to be honest.
Yeah.
He was only 59. He
almost,
thought he was like 100.
I know. He almost made it through his 10-year Don Vito sentence.
Yeah.
Because that was 8 years. It was 51 when, in a, yeah, he had two more years.
How is that an
enforceable
thing? You can't be Don Vito.
You can't be your character anymore.
Yeah.
Final thoughts.
Don't go drinking, driving, and speeding.
Yeah.
Friends don't let jackasses
drink and drive.
Drink and drive, whatever Ebert said.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, Ebert didn't even have to say it. Like, it's just a no-brainer. It's, I don't know.
He had a good Twitter thing going at that time, yeah, since he couldn't talk anymore with the draw thing. Yeah. So I really think he was just kind of seen as like, okay, this is a moment, you know, I can kind of remind people, like a public service.
I think that's what people felt, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So do you think he shouldn't have tweeted that?
No. Why?
Yeah, exactly.
He's not connected to them in any way.
And it, come on, everybody. It was a joke also, like a pun, like jackass. You know what I mean? It's a reference.
Yeah, but it just seemed to me to be a little bit too much of a dig.
So you like, think he shouldn't have tweeted?
No.
Oh, I thought you meant no, like, oh, it was fine.
No, I mean, no, he shouldn't have tweeted it.
Oh, I totally misread
him. He had zero connection to Ryan Dunner. It's like, yeah, of course, no drinking and driving. Like, we all fucking think that.
He's a public figure.
I think he was just tweeting too much, to be honest. And I think
he just wanted to say jackass.
He wanted to say a little joke.
He didn't have a jaw. Give him a break. Yeah. And yet Amy Schumer is allowed to make a joke.
At a roast, yes.
Well, Ebert doesn't have a jaw.
You have a very flimsy argument here about the jaw not being there. Neither does Zach Hartwell, okay?
Yeah, no
shit. In fact, his jaw dropped when he heard about that.
It never got reattached.
The one he never had.
Okay, now what about the Schumer joke? Was that okay?
Yeah, of course.
It wasn't a good joke, but it's better than... It was at a roast.
What a snowflake you are.
No.
Ebert tweets a clever thing about jackasses.
Clever.
Like, oh, Ebert was way out of line.
You think it was that clever?
It wasn't that clever.
No, I think he viewed it as like, hey, maybe there's a couple of knuckleheads who will read this and be like, yeah, you know, maybe I won't drive drunk tonight.
He's saving the roads or something?
Yes, no. Thank you.
Yeah, who's stumbling out of a bar being like, oh, I got to drive home, and then being like, oh, wait. Roger Ebert told me not to drink and drive.
Let me look at Roger Ebert's feed on Twitter before I turn the keys.
Okay, $1 million baby, 4 stars, and okay, don't drink and drive. Cool.
Yeah,
exactly.
At least one person probably.
Tommy Boy's the worst comedy ever made. Shut the fuck up.
I know,
up.
Yeah. What's up with that? Why?
Who cares, guys? Now you're digging up old reviews now?
Yeah.
That is so unfair.
Yeah.
In fact, one day I'm going to do an episode on Ebert, so
good.
You just get ready.
And we can shit on him.
That sounded like a threat the way that Alejandro was saying it.
Yeah. It's just like, listen, film critic, shut up and play the hits.
Yeah.
And if it means anything, which I don't like your arguments, period, about this Ebert thing, but the dude also, besides not having a jaw, he was an alcoholic.
Well, if anybody knew that.
So who was he to tell anyone to do anything?
Because he was an alcoholic, he had, you know, the... wait, what's my argument?
The context.
No, he had the
authority.
The life experience.
The life experience to say, hey,
the life aquatic.
Take it from me.
Okay.
I don't think he liked the life aquatic.
Billy Joel should have came out and said something. Because he's got like 3 DUIs drove through an old lady's house.
He's never been witnessed driving sober.
Yeah.
Billy Joel did tweet about it.
Did he?
Shut up. Dude, that's awesome.
I'm moving out.
I'm moving in.
I'm moving in.
I'm moving towards the ravine.
Oh, boy.
I didn't start the fire, or did I?
Yeah.
No, but this was an interesting discussion because I didn't realize you two were so offended by Roger Ebert. I mean, give me a fucking break.
Oh, if he said some shit about my friend, I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
I'd break pissed. His other jaw.
Oh, yeah. You mean your friend that killed somebody?
Yeah.
That took someone out with him?
Yep.
Recklessly and could have killed a lot more people?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, guys, follow us on Instagram at Death and Entertainment.
Yes.
What else?
YouTube, Death and Entertainment.
Yes. And Twitter at DiePod2021.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff out there stuff cooking. Out there. And we, you know, we love your feedback. We love your
input.
Ears.
Comments.
Listening.
Yeah. Sure.
Give us a 5-star review on Spotify and iTunes.
On iTunes. Yeah, we need those. And on iTunes, say a couple words, you know, including your five-star review.
Give us some pros.
Give us some pros.
And Samantha mentioned that she loves Spotify, but boy, YouTube is just that much better.
There we go.
Some spice to it.
So you might want to check out some of the video content if you haven't already.
Yeah.
We are starting to post some shorts. 1 minute long, but they're very fun. Alejandro's done a great job, and we're going to continue to put those out. And we will be putting those on Death and Entertainment's TikTok. That is coming this week. So check out, look out for that.
Coming soon.
Keep an eye out.
All right. Big well, stuff. Thanks for listening.
Don't go dying on us.
Bye-bye. You have just heard
a true Hollywood murder mystery.
I have never seen anything like this before.
Movies, Broadway, music, television, all of it.
A place that manufactures nightmares.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Good night. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon.